today, obviously in a season like this, I want to focus on thankfulness. And I want to specifically say leads to powerful prayer and leads to contentment. These focuses. And I say this to you, there's some sort of curse about you're about to teach on thankfulness in my life, that every time that I teach on thankfulness, something bad happens in which it's testing that thankfulness. And so I remember, I feel it was either this year or the year before with Naomi that we found out that she possibly could have Turner syndrome, and then we found out about the kidney, that she only has one kidney, and I remember it being right around the Thanksgiving time again and being like, oh no, like, you got to count your blessings, even with the hardships of life. And so it just so happened to be that Friday is when I got injured after I finished this sermon on Thursday and where I was going. And then just today when we were leaving, my wife calls me when I'm on my way to church and she had a nail in her tire and got to go run back up there and fill that thing up. And so then that took 45 minutes out of the way. And so that just happens sometimes. God gets you an opportunity to say, where is your thankfulness despite your circumstances with all that God has blessed us with? And so that is just something I'm mindful of coming into this season, is God has blessed us tremendously. I just sat up here and every week we look at a country around the world where believers are struggling with their faith, with their circumstances because of where they live, things that have nothing to do with them other than them being a believer and passionately loving Jesus. And so I want to start with Psalms 77, 11 through 12. I could have picked a million, a whole host of them, but it says this, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on all your mighty deeds. One of the best elements of thankfulness is being mindful of that which is in the past and in the future. Sometimes when you look at just today, right now, this circumstance, it's foggy, you can't see it, you can't help but see it. So that one of the best ways about thankfulness is you look back to 5 years, you look back to 10 years of your life, and God's hand was there. In that moment, just like today, you may not see it, you may not feel it, you may be, where are you? But many of us, I hope, if you have faith, you've looked back with some different lenses at your life and circumstances and how God's hands were there the entire time. Amen? I mean, I could lay down all the stories of all the places me and my wife have had to be in ministry at, or all the circumstances, all the different things that have gone on. God's hand was there. And in the moment, sometimes I didn't see it, but later I did. And what I want to say to you is it's important for a season in our time, in our life, to just focus on meditating on all that God has blessed us with. Amen? Now, because the truth is, sure, there's some hard times. There's some challenges that God puts in our path. But at the end of the day, God has done incredible things too. We just talked about it. Trevor just said it. Jesus died on a cross. So we already know, no matter what this life throws at us, knee and all, no matter what God throws at us, we know nothing can take away the love of our Father. Romans 8 says it very clearly, that no matter what, disease, famine, the life to come and the life present, nothing can be thrown away, right? Nothing can be thrown at you that separates the love of God for you. Child of God, amen? Amen. So no matter what is thrown, and the Bible never does this whole thing where it says, you know, there aren't going to be hard times. That is preachers that are preaching a false gospel. Every disciple suffered for the name's sake. Jesus said, if they did it to your master, do you think they won't do it to you? The Bible never lies about challenges. But God says, in your challenges, I will always be there with you. Mark 12:30 says this, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. See, this is the command in which we love God even beyond our circumstances. We seek to love God with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind. Romans 1:21 says this, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, children of God, I say this to you. They did not honor him or give thanks. The reality about life is many of us will have many challenges, and we already know all of us will perish one day in terms of death on this life, but we know we have an eternal life. And so here we see folks that do not honor God, do not give thanks for God. Everything is wrapped up in the circumstantial. Everything's about fleeting happiness versus a joy that only God can give. And what we see here is that's not who we should be. We need to honor God and give thanks to God. Now, Paul leads this best, and we see this in the book of Colossians. And this is one of the things I want to focus on today. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue steadfast in prayer. Is that an option? It's a command. Continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. I'm going to come back to this and say to you, I think the NIV gets this wrong, being watchful and thankful. No. He's saying something differently. He's talking about a thankfulness of heart that is necessary for good praying, not just and give thanks, right? That's totally different than an attitude of thankfulness in your prayers. And that is the power of prayer. He says it all over the book in Colossians. He says this, Colossians 1:3, we give thanks God to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Colossians 1:12, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you like that one? Why do we give thanks? Because we are among the saints of God for eternity, sons and daughters of God. So why do we give thanks? Because that's who we are. That's our identity. That's not who we might be. It's not what we're earning. It's what we already are. Amen. Colossians 2:6-7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do whatever in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So my big point to you is this. Look at this book abounding with thanksgiving and commands to be thankful, reminding us to be thankful. And what I connected with that verse I showed you, Colossians 4:2, is this. Paul is teaching us of thanksgiving of heart as necessary for good praying. And what I love about this most is Paul is in prison when he prays this. He's in prison. And I love this verse because come down and look at Colossians 4:3-6, right after that verse where he's connecting prayer with having an attitude of thanksgiving. He says some incredibly important prayers that I mention on this stage often. Colossians 3:3-6, right in the context. It says this, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mysteries of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Make the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now, here's the deal I love about this passage, and actually it was in youth ministry that one time this was preached, and it stuck with me ever since there. Russell Cravens at Sagemont taught this, and it stuck with me ever since as one of the most powerful prayers in Scripture. I had never connected verse 2 with the contents of it till this week, but I will say this to you. He is in prison. He could be praying to be out of prison. Take my circumstance away, God. Couldn't he? I mean, how often in our prayer lives when we're asking people to pray for us, are we focused on things like him where he's saying, pray that God may open a door for the word of the gospel to be proclaimed. You know what that means? Despite his circumstances, his focus is on the things that matter most more than anything, even if God has no plans to take him out of prison. In fact, Paul knew much of his ministry, God had no plans to take him out of prison. Because that's where God would put him, to where he could bring the gospel to the world. He could bring the gospel to literally before empires and people of importance that no other Christian got to. Why? Because Paul was in prison. That's why. He had an opportunity to bring the gospel. We studied the book of Acts. 34 weeks we looked at the book of Acts. And we found at one point it says very specifically in the Bible that the gospel reached everywhere. It reached all of Asia. What an incredible statement. Now, it took a lot of suffering of Paul for that to happen. So I'm saying to you, he says in verse 2, he's connecting being watchful with thanksgiving with his prayer life. Then he gives big prayers, and the attitude of prayer matters for your prayer life. If you want to see God answer powerful prayers, if you want to see God move mightily, not only do you have to pray for the right things, the things that are most important, but we got to work with, I would say, step number 1, thankfulness and gratitude. When we are thankful, when we're making a joyful noise, even in our circumstances, I say this all the time at funerals or anywhere I'm at with someone who's struggling and suffering, I say, you need God's presence more than you need the circumstance to leave. You need that more than anything. And how do you have God's presence? You have God's presence, particularly when you come to God with a thankful heart and attitude. And you say, God, I've got some suffering and some trials and I need you. I don't feel you right now. I don't know what's coming. But what I do know is you love me. I do know is that you've made a way for the most ultimate thing. Even if death were to arise, I know where I'm going and I know who I am. Even if you put me in a challenging situation and that challenging situation is for the sake of your gospel, I want to do that for the sake of your gospel more than I want the circumstance to leave. I sat in here one time or went to a place one time and I shouldn't say his name. I won't say his name. He's in here today. But I remember going to the hospital and seeing him, and it was an opportunity of witness despite not knowing what was going to happen to him. You got all these nurses and doctors running in and out, and this person was specifically taking it as an opportunity to praise Jesus, praise God, talk about the gospel, share with them, show them something different than they normally see in a hospital with a bitter, upset, hurting person. You see something different. You see, I'm using this as an opportunity. And I remember seeing him do that and just thinking, what an example, what a testimony. I thought the same when it came to Matt Chandler years back ago when he had brain cancer and for 3 years he had no clue whether he would die or wouldn't die. And I saw a man with brain cancer thinking inevitably it's over, continue to use the opportunity to proclaim Jesus, proclaim the gospel despite having that condition. Now he doesn't have it anymore. Praise God, one of the biggest churches in the country and a good church. And folks, it doesn't matter. During that time, his testimony meant so much to, I'm sure, many more people. See, because even in your suffering, you can suffer so well for the sake of God. But how do you suffer well when there's no thankfulness? You can't. Because the premise of prayer, the premise of God, what are the right things to pray, is thankfulness. I said this to my wife when I felt I might have torn my knee again. 3 years of rehab, 3 years of surgeries. It was nuts. And to think it happened over something so silly as jumping after a soccer ball. I play basketball every week. And I'm like, now I'm not going to be able to play basketball. And I slipped. And no good story. You know, you want to say a burglar came in the house and I ninja kicked him. That's not how I got hurt. In fact, Lori just said this the other day. How I originally got hurt was running at VBS after kids. What? Like, well, how did you get hurt? I was running at VBS. Did, like, someone hit you? No. Did like, you jump over something? No. What happened? It just went boop and popped. Done. Not a cool story, man. In fact, I got to make up some new stories about that because that's not working. Well, this one was soccer ball, kids, wife kicked it. In fact, I got hurt and she's laughing at me, not realizing it was serious because I got mud all over me, water all over me. Then pretty soon it became, oh, he's not getting up. Oh, no. Look, that knee's bent weird. Okay. So I say that to you to say this really important prayer item. Thankfulness is the beginning and the root of powerful prayer. And your attitude and posture for incredible, powerful prayer begins with, God, I'm not owed anything. I've lived my life with this, and I hit 33 this year. We think Jesus died at 33. Now, how am I to be unhappy with any day, any step I get further when my Jesus came and died for me, and he died at 33? Any breath or day I have beyond that time. I have said that since being in high school, and it's just something that I've always thought, and I hit it this year. I'm not saying I'm going to die at 33, but at the end of the day, if I have any day more than God had himself when he died on the cross, like, man, I should be grateful. So that's just something that's always stuck with my mind, and not something that is necessarily maybe meaningful to everybody, but for me, it is. And so my most important sermon point I would say of today is this: thankfulness in our heart and thankfulness as our attitude is the posture for incredibly powerful praying, especially as we pray, I messed up there, pray significant prayers. And he shows us as he prays significant, important prayers, despite his circumstances, not even asking for those things to change if it were to be for the sake of the gospel. But the power of that prayer is his thankful, generous, grateful attitude for all that God had given him. And you know what? Paul should be grateful because he was murdering Christians. And now look what he was doing is bringing the gospel to advance all over Asia. Now that's something only God can do, folks. And for him to have a thankful heart despite his circumstances, tells you, you know what? He looked back and said, like Romans 9, man, I wish that my brethren would believe in the gospel. He had gone to Jewish synagogue after Jewish synagogue, and they would not be able to see the truth of the gospel. And it broke his heart because he was just like them, totally blind and murdering Christians before God showed himself who he was. Amen? And even at that moment, Jesus said, you must suffer for my name's sake. And he accepted that plight, if that's what it took, for the blindness, for the lost to come to know him. Amen? So folks, we said that during our Acts series, there were times that he would literally come to synagogues and say, I'm done with you Jewish people, you're not listening. And then the very next town would do the exact same thing over and over and over and over, because he understood the blindness. And he was grateful despite whatever circumstances. He knows that he had the most important thing. Jesus would say it this way in parables, that if you knew the gospel message and the importance of the gospel, you would sell everything you had to buy that land, because that's how valuable the gospel message is. Do you believe that, Christians? Right? That's the truth. Because at the end of the day, we know death is coming. We know pain is coming. The Bible tells us it. But we know nothing can separate us from our God who loves us. No sin I've ever committed, no thing I'm ever going to do, no earning my way to nothing. Jesus already did it. And because of that, God's made a right relation between me and my Father. And if you knew with eternal lenses how incredibly important that was, you would sell all you had for that sake of that message as well. And you would care that that message goes to others, people that you love, people you don't know, that need the gospel. Amen? So, we should be thankful. That doesn't disqualify, though, the question. Are you struggling at the current moment? I mean, many of us in this room might be struggling, and there's a big difference between, there's a big difference between struggling and having very heart issues and, hey, having possibly death on the corner. You know, those are two totally different things. But it's so incredibly important for all of us, despite your circumstances, to know this. God cares about your situation. Sometimes I see Christians do something that they'll go and talk to someone and someone's sad in their circumstance or they're just struggling. And it's almost like, well, if you had enough faith, right? If you had enough faith, one, maybe you'd be healing. Or if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be down. That's not healthy to anybody. It doesn't help anybody. But that doesn't mean, you know, that we shouldn't understand. There is a big difference between some things that are life-threatening and some things that aren't really all that life-threatening. And we need to be encouraged to always have our attitude right, even in those circumstances. But it's not our place to say, well, this is not something. This is light and momentary. No big deal. It may actually, in eternal lenses, be light and momentary. But that's not your place or my place, because God cares right where your circumstances are right now. And he's preparing to do something with that circumstances in your heart. So we as Christians encourage our brothers and sisters. Amen? We don't play the blame game and who's got more of the bigger issue, me or you, or, you know, look at me, I got a torn knee and you're just sad. Like, no, you don't do that, okay? You look at someone's plight and circumstances, and we encourage all the more that God's with you. He's never forsaken you. He says it in his word. And anything that you're going through, God has a reason and purpose that it may take eternity for you to get that answer, but you'll get the answer. Amen? So Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything. We know this verse. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I want to say this. Maybe what we truly need to be doing is focusing regarding our prayer life on our attitude in regards to gratitude and thanksgiving. And maybe this is the key to experiencing the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And God guarding your hearts and mind. And I think that's an incredibly important element of prayer. We want God to give us his peace in the midst of our challenges. And I would say to you, gratitude and thanksgivings is going to monumentally pick up the opportunity for God to give you peace despite that circumstances. And I say this a lot, and I mean it, guarding your mind and heart so you're not saying, where are you, God? You don't love me. You hate me. No, you've never loved me. Who could love, like, where our minds take us when our circumstances are bad? And maybe that would be more guarded And you would have more peace if we came into some of these challenges and circumstances with an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness, despite the circumstances. God may take that situation away. He may not take it away. I'm not God and I'm not in control. But what I can tell you is, despite whatever that is, God can give you his peace. God can guard your mind and your heart, even when your head is going all over the place. Amen? So folks, I say that to you because I do believe that to be true. Now, I did this 1 year before. It may have been 2 years ago, this section of this, but I think it's important when it comes to gratitude. And so there's a basic human level, acknowledging God with gratefulness and thanksgiving. We read this verse earlier, or the context of it, Romans 1:19-20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. And Psalms 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So from the very most basic element of thankfulness and gratitude, just the fact that you are alive and you see the divine and you see this God and all that he's created and all the blessings, the fact that just like you, I can go eat a steak and go eat some turkey and go hang out and have some fellowship. I have 2 children. I'm blessed beyond belief. The very basic element of gratitude is the fact that I exist and my God made me. So for that reason alone, despite anything else, I should be grateful and thankful. Amen? I'm not a cat or a dog or a plant. I'm a son and daughter of God. I'm not even an angel that could be thrown in hell as a demon. I'm a son and daughter of God, saved. And the Bible says one day we will judge angels, and we have no clue what that means in eternity. Amen? So I'm going to get into some more graduate levels of gratitude. But number one, the fact that we see God and we are created and we've been blessed, we're without excuse in regards to praising him and being thankful. We're without excuse, according to God's word. That's a basic just acknowledgement with gratitude and thankfulness. But an elementary level to be thankful is in the most basic sense, Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips and the acknowledgement of, acknowledge his name. Let us continue offer up a sacrifice of praise. So a very elementary element of being grateful and content and happy with thanksgiving is to praise God. To praise. We're in church right now. We just sang some songs. You may go out of here and you're going to get in your car. I've said this all the time. If you're struggling, if that question is you are struggling, praise God. He inhabits the praise of his people. And that's the very basic elementary level of having good thankfulness and good gratitude in regards to God. We praise him. We don't just acknowledge that he exists, in which the world says we're without excuse that he doesn't. That's what God's word says. But we move into a level of praising him, praising God for his great, amazing things he's done. Whether it be salvation or the fact that I can't make a, I can't create my child. God does that. In fact, me and my wife will say for 6 years we tried to have kids and we couldn't. And God said, but I'm going to open that womb. And then one happened and the next one happened. We said, no more. We can't afford them. Right? No more, Lord. That prayer, I'm done praying that one. And so, folks, but elementary level is praise God. I got 2 kids. How do I not praise God and say, thank you, Lord. You opened the womb up that we could have children, and now I get to experience that blessing. But, I mean, again, everybody has different things they're talking about. I have a roof over my head or whatever it might be. Basic elementary, praise God for the many different blessings he's given us. So I challenge you with the basic. Now you can go further up in Scripture, high school level, to look for something to be thankful for in all situations, which is what we just talked about in regards to Paul. Notice he says things all over Scripture. I just read a ton of give thanks while he's in prison. And in Thessalonians 5:18, he's saying again, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. High school, from elementary to high school would say to you, even in the challenging times, We praise your name, God. We thank you. Now, I don't know where you are on the spectrum. I'm just saying, biblically, there's a big difference between we just acknowledge you for all the things you've given me and then moving into, man, even in this challenge and the circumstances, I'm going to praise you anyways, despite it. Whether you choose to take it away or not. He just wrote the entire book of Colossians and said over and over, thankfulness, 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 thankfulness. And yet, he's not getting out of prison. So can you take the next step in your gratitude that even in my circumstances, I'm going to rejoice in you? Even if I'm in a hospital right now and I'm not sure what's going to come, I'm still going to rejoice in you. Maybe you're at the stage of 70 or 80 or 90 or 30 and we're in a hospital setting. Let me say this to you, right? Even in that circumstances, God has an opportunity for you to do something incredible in ministry-wise, right? He has an opportunity for something incredible to happen, and we should say, God, I have the most important word, faith. I know that even if you take my life today, God, I've had many years of you building up my faith. Now, this is incredibly important for you to ever get to a high school level, despite circumstances, trusting in God. You have to have built faith. You have to have. So the very beginning verse I read about meditating on the amazing things God has done. Sometimes why we don't have great faith is because what's happened is when we've had God move and we prayed about something, something was difficult, God took that situation or God was in it, and then we never even acknowledged God. We just moved on. Now, don't we do that sometimes? We prayed something, we asked for God for something, and then all of a sudden it's taken away, but we're moving on to the next problem. We're moving on from here. We actually asked people to pray for something. God went on with it and helped us, but we never stopped to rejoice. We never stopped to say, God, thank you, and meditate on how many times he's done that. When you start meditating and praising him for all the things, the good and the bad, but how God's hand has been guiding you your entire life, you start building faith. So then this next challenge that's coming my way, I have faith. I'm okay. Because look at where you've been and how you've always been faithful to me. Amen? Now that is how you get to a high school level. I can give thanks in all circumstances because God, I've seen your hand in my life for years now. You've always been there. You've never forsaken me. I trust you. I believe you. And I went through this with you and I can get through this next thing because of you. Amen? Now that is how you get to a high school level. All circumstances, I can still give thanks to God, even if it's bad right now. Amen? Now, graduate level. This is the one really hard for folks. Thankfulness that God, that trusts God and thus is grateful for even the bad things. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Be filled with the Spirit. Give thanks always and for everything to God. We see in James, he talks about give thanks in all circumstances because God may be using some of your challenges to create in you a different heart. To change you. What if some of the challenges God has given you was for a purpose of doing something in your heart that is substantially more important than that circumstance goes away because he's changing you to be more holy. He's changing you to trust in him more. You've wanted control of your life forever and now he's taking it out of your control. And what will you do? Keep fighting for control or say, God, throw my hands up. Yeah, I'm just going to do my best to be who you called me to be. Amen? You can get to an element in your life that even in a bad circumstance, God, I throw my hands up. Me being in control hadn't worked. It ain't worked my whole life. So I just trust you in this. I trust that you've got a purpose, a reason, and I'm going to praise you even in it. I'm going to say to you, God, you're good. You're with me. Despite what the circumstances, I love you. I trust you. You could take me today, but I trust you. Amen? You could choose not to take that pain away. You could choose not to do this or that. But God, I just trust you. And I, again, have built collateral of faith throughout my life. I've seen your hand. I've seen you with me. I've seen you in ways that I can't deny. So God, I trust you. Even in this circumstance, I give it to you and you fully. Now that is a graduate level. That's not something that a very basic beginning, I just became a believer today. That's a hard one to get to. It is. What about a person who has chronic disease or a chronic issue and you get to a place and saying, God, even though you allowed me to have this, I'm going to take this circumstance and I'm going to show the world a witness that they couldn't believe. That they look at me and say, how could you praise God with this? Curse him, right? Job, curse God. Job wouldn't do it. You know why? Because he was so grateful, so thankful, and he loved God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind. He couldn't help but be grateful. Now, that's not something that a very basic Christian, in fact, that's something that a lot of preachers aren't even preaching now because well, that doesn't feel good. We're just going to preach different ways than saying this. This is a graduate level of faith. Only a person who's really walked with God and seen his hand in their life that has accepted the challenges before. You know, every one of us one day will be on our deathbed. It's inevitable for every one of us. Will we be at the place of faith in our life that when we face that horrendous week or month or day, will we say, God, I accept it. I know where I'm going. Amen? That's what I mean to you when I said I watched Matt Chandler for 3 years with brain cancer, knowing any day now he could be gone. And you know what he did? He just became more ferocious in his praising of God and sharing the gospel. And he did not expect that anything would change. He didn't think he'd be healed. He is now, but I saw him for years just, well, this is what it is. I'm plowing through it with faith. Amen? So I say that to you. I don't know what you've come into here with. I don't know your stage at Christianity-wise, the stage of faith that you're at. But I wanted to write for you the very basic acknowledging of God because I see your divine nature. There's no way that something way more powerful than me made this incredible mountain, made this incredible ocean, down to the level of God, even in the most difficult challenges. I'll trust you. Now, who are some of our leaders in this? The disciples, right? You saw their faith go back and forth. And then all of a sudden, even Peter stands up and becomes this leader. And then we even see him in Galatians with Paul and having to be confronted because he still had some challenges and rough edges. But you know what? One day, he was saying when they were going to murder him, said, don't even hang me upside down like my God. Hang me upside down, the opposite. I don't deserve to hang as my Jesus did. Right? Now, what kind of faith does that take? It takes years of getting back up and trusting and praising and thanking God. Amen? Now, again, I'm not telling you got to be like that today, but we should strive to look at the Bible and its totality and say, God, I want to have a grateful, thankful heart no matter what my circumstances are. I'm aiming to be like that. I may not be there today, but I'm aiming to grow to there. Amen? Because, again, one day we're going to face something horrific. I mean, it's coming for every one of us, but Jesus conquered death. So even if death is facing us, Jesus conquered death. Even in dying, even in surrender, tremendous suffering, we can still praise God. We can. We have a whole host of biblical authors who did that, who lived that. Amen? And we get to read their stories, but you got a story too. And you got a story that sometimes you got to meditate and look back on so that in your circumstances, you remind your heart, you remind your soul, you tell God, I want the peace of God. I trust you in this situation. You've always been there for me. I'm going to trust you again, and I'm going to praise your name despite my circumstance. Now, that's a hard, it's a graduate level, but let's aim for that, church. I don't know where you are today, but also we see this in Scripture, and I'll end with my final point. Let us strive for thankfulness that leads to contentment. I have to say this every week we get up here and talk about a country that is struggling and from persecution, great persecution. Every week I talk about contentment. The reason I'm doing that, because we all walk in here with some challenging circumstances, but we all know folks that have more challenging circumstances. You know, I've met with a guy named Sean who was paralyzed from the neck down from eight years old, and that man was one of the most delightful people to be around despite his circumstance would never change until heaven. And he made it about ministering to the kids I'd bring in youth ministry and talking to them and encouraging them, you know, with their plights of life, what's going on. And he would literally, as a crippled man from his neck down, talk about, how's your day? How's your week? How are things going? I'm praying for you. What? Despite crippled from eight down. See, he had learned to be content. He had learned to have that kind of faith, that kind of trust. And he was looking to eternity. He knew nothing about his life was about to change. Amen? He's passed away now, but that's still the story I always remember. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I now know to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How do you get to the graduate level of contentment and thankfulness and gratitude? Well, the truth is it's not too difficult. It's contained, not in this heroic acts of piety. It is something actually simple. It's a childlike response to God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. I say again, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Folks, if you want to be content, if you want to be grateful this season, if you want to have a thankfulness, and what I said in the very beginning to me is the most important part, if you want to have a powerful prayer life, it all begins with thankfulness and gratitude and understanding the difference between a very basic element that thank you for life to, Father, I'll even praise you in my circumstance. Whether I caused that circumstance or you chose to give me this circumstance, I'm still going to do what I can do, which is praise you. Amen? Now, folks, I end with this. You know, are you grateful? Is your life content right now? Do you trust in the Lord? What are you thankful for? When is the last time we proclaimed our thankfulness to God? When was the last time you have proclaimed your thankfulness to all that would listen? Folks, we're about to go have a lunch over there. I think I've done this every year. I think it'd be great for you to come over there, maybe whoever you're sitting by, say something you're thankful for. Maybe you've walked in this place with the hardest circumstance imaginable. We're not here to play the comparison. Who's got the hardest situation? But what we can do is obey simple thanksgiving. God, thank you. Because there is not one person in this room that doesn't have something to be thankful for. You're breathing right now. And you're only breathing because God's given you life. And he's not owed to give you another breath. But you're still breathing. So I challenge you at our Thanksgiving feast. Some of you may have come and said, well, I didn't bring anything, so I'm embarrassed. Don't worry about that. Just come eat. You're here at church. We're eating. Awesome fellowship of food out there. Come on out. We'd love to see you. But I challenge you to whoever you sit by, say something you're thankful for. And ask in your heart as you travel on over there, what is something maybe I haven't said or acknowledged in a while that I'm thankful for? Not just the basics that, you know, of course, my kids. Something else. What's something that, man, God, I don't know if I've said in a while how thankful I am for this, but thank you. And I hope that this season is a time of thanksgiving. As the band comes up, I'll finish with this. You know, you cannot be thankful in regards to God if you don't believe in God. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, death is awaiting you one day. Maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow. I said this a while back, but after the Astros game, a young man was coming home from the game, and game one, I believe, and he passed away from that time coming because he went to that game and got hit on his way home. And, you know, he was a 20-year-old man, and his whole life and his whole family's changed because we're not promised to walk out of here. Any one of us could have a car issue. My wife just had a big flat tire, and she could have gone on that road not thinking about it, and something bad could have happened. Now, those are things, a lot of us, it's beyond us. But what I can say is if you have Jesus, if you know Jesus, if you know your eternal destiny, you can deal with circumstances that the world would look at you and say, foolish, curse God. But a Christian says, I know where I'm going. I know who I am. I know what he's done for me. I have confidence. And I can say to you, the Bible says this, if you believe in your heart, I can't make you believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. He's come to lead me. He's paid the penalties for my sin and my mistakes, as simple as me being a liar at times. Amen? And he's paid those price because he died. And it's his blood on the cross. He's the very one that took my sins and washed me clean. I'm not perfect today, but in one day, I believe I'll be glorified with God, perfect, not paying the penalty that he already paid. So if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, the Bible says if you confess that he's the Lord and Savior, you will be saved. Not might be saved, not could be saved. It's you will be saved if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. Now listen, I don't know what circumstances you have. I got some new ones today, but I'm banking on that gospel message. And if you knew how valuable it was, you would sell all for it. So I hope you've made the gospel valuable in your life as it is for me. Let me pray and respond. How you feel led, I'll be down here. Some others, if you want to pray or talk, maybe you want to share, you want to accept Jesus today, maybe you're not ready, whatever it might be, we'll be here to pray and minister to you in however we can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to be at church with friends and family and church family. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us, just like the meal we're about to receive, just like getting to worship and talk about your word. Maybe many of us have come with so many challenges, but maybe today it's just a gentle reminder that, God, we can be grateful even in our challenging circumstances because you have been so good to us. And God, I pray that anyone in here that is not a believer, maybe has never given their life to you, that today would be that day that they would choose to say, man, my life is not going the way I want it to go. I need help. And that they would reach out to you, Lord, and let you get a hold of their life as you have many in this room. We love you, we trust you, and thank you, God. Thank you for all the many blessings you give us daily. Amen.